halfway Matthew and halfway Bible study. Lord's inspired my heart so much about this, and then I began to go back in my memory. I believe last camp meeting we kind of talked on this, but doesn't matter about that. It's still good. I want us to talk about the value of the Scriptures. I thank the Lord for the Holy Scriptures. I believe Brother Marty touched on that a little bit this morning about the Word of the Lord and how that it is the unspeakable gift. And I have that same feeling in my heart that the Scriptures that we have here is a gold mine. It is a mine of wealth. It means so much to us. It's a constructing principle of our lives. Constructing in us the type of Christian character and faith and experience with God that it means so much to us. It's through the Scriptures. Romans 15, we start at verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You know where that scripture is? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. For that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Well, see how important that is? Do we need hope? Do we need patience and comfort? Well, we find it so often, and a good part of the time, we find it through the avenue of the Scriptures. The Word of God, the Bible, if you please. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Oh, how many times we have been comforted and strengthened by the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit bringing the Scriptures to our minds. What a wonderful blessing it is. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, what are they able to do? Able to make thee wise unto salvation. What is able to make us wise unto salvation? The Holy Scriptures. From a child, it's good for children to learn the Holy Scriptures, to be taught these things. I'm thankful for what I was taught when I was a child in Sunday school and at home. I'm thankful for that. Things that were indelibly fixed on my mind, still there today. Thank God for the Holy Scriptures. Thank God for a godly mother who taught the Scriptures, and for good Sunday school teachers and ministers through the years, camp meeting and summer meeting, Bible study, prayer meeting, and Sunday morning and Sunday night. The Scriptures constantly put before us. Oh, glory. Thank the Lord for it. It says, it's able to make, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The faith in Christ Jesus coupled with the Scriptures, able to make us wise unto salvation. Now that's the kind of wisdom we want. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom which is of God in salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, means teachings, counsels, instructions, goes along with the rest, reproof. Sometimes we need to be reproved. You ever been reproved by the Lord bringing a scripture to your mind? Many times, many times. Thank the Lord. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is faithful to us. To, if we see us getting off a little bit, then He brings a scripture to our mind. Praise the Lord. Through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, the two agents of our salvation. The Word and the Spirit working together. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfected. Thoroughly perfected. Do we believe in perfection? Well, this is the way that we attain to this is through the Scriptures. As we listen and study and open our hearts and minds to the Scriptures, it's a wonderful, wonderful benefit to us. Let us notice in John 5, and let's see how Jesus spoke here concerning the Scriptures. John 5 and 39. He's speaking here to the Jews, contradictory Jews, antagonizing Jews that were constantly working against him. And he says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Now the real essence of this text is a little different in the Greek. The expression is, he's speaking to the Jews. He says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." And they did. They were learned in the Scriptures. But the thing about it was, they were searching the Scriptures and all, but they were missing what the Scriptures was really pointing to. And see, that's where we want to be careful. We can be very avid Bible scholars and searching the Scriptures, but without the Holy Spirit enlightenment, we might go astray. We will go astray without the Holy Spirit enlightenment. So we need to prayerfully study the Scriptures and with a hope and heart and mind. And the Lord can take the Scriptures, maybe Scriptures that we don't really understand or see the depth in, but as we get it in our minds and pray and live for God, the Lord can just take those Scriptures and you know, sometimes driving down the road in your car, laying in your bed at home, or doing your work at home, or whatever, your mind will be on those Scriptures, and the Lord will just like He'll open up something. Open up your understanding. It's wonderful. It's a blessed thing to have. It's the richest thing I've ever had in all my life, is for the Lord to open up the Scriptures to me. That's been the most exciting thing I've ever had in all my life. I've been a lot of places, Grand Canyon, Crater Lake, Washington, D.C., and all these. I've been, but there's nothing that will equal what the revelation of the Scriptures is to our souls. Oh, may the Lord help us today. We just want to let the Lord, as we search the Scriptures and read and pray and study and ask the Lord, open up the Word to me. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Thy law is a light, as we heard this morning. It's just, well, the Scriptures, they're just wonderful. And I want to notice on down here in verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. See, they were supposed to be following Moses, and they read the Scriptures and so forth. But it says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." But he said, "If ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" You don't believe Moses. You say you do. You say you search the Scriptures, but you won't believe me, and this, I'm the one that the Scriptures are talking about. Now how are you going to believe in me if you don't believe in Moses? And Moses said, accuses you. Oh, Lord, help. We don't want the Scriptures to accuse us. We want the Scriptures to enlighten us and help us and teach us. But if we don't yield to the knowledge of the Scriptures that we have in the Bible, that we have today, in the Old and New Testament both, if we don't listen to them, then they will accuse us, bring condemnation to our lives. Another place we want to notice is Luke 24. Jesus getting ready to ascend to the Father. I want to notice the latter part of this chapter first. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Open up their understanding of the Scriptures. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer. In the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and where else? And in the Psalms, concerning me. See, all these Scriptures concerning Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 now, and third verse. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. See, it's all foretold in the Scriptures. And we can look back and see these things. All right, back to 24 of Luke. We want to notice, after when he met these two men on the road to Emmaus and started talking to them, and they began to tell him why they were troubled and perplexed and so forth, he told them in verse 25 and 26 and 27, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't that have been a wonderful message? Wouldn't that have been a wonderful little discourse from Jesus? Wonder how he started it out. How would you have started it out if you were trying to unveil to someone some of the Scriptures about Jesus? What would be the first Scripture you would start on? Somebody give me one. How about Genesis 3? About the serpent bruising the woman's heel and the seed of the woman bruising the serpent? Does that have any value? Yes. What is that? 3? In the third chapter of Genesis. So you see, I would say that he would have started there. Now we're going to go to another. Can you get it? Pick up another Scripture in Genesis about
First Corinthians 2:9.
What was that? Yes. Yes. That's another good one. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. Listen, let me give you a little pointer, maybe you already know it, but it's a very good study to know where these scriptures that are quoted in the New Testament where they are quoted from. You know, now I had a Bible, and this one here is not like that, but I had an Oxford Bible years ago, and that was a real help to me, because every place in the New Testament where the Old Testament is quoted, it would have it noted in the center reference, cited from, like this here scripture would have been cited from Isaiah 64. And then in the Old Testament, oh, that was a great help to me, because I had that Bible, I think I had two of them, and I used them through the years, and it really helped me in learning these things. I remember I just thought I would look, and every place somebody had searched that out, and that's a good thing. And so if you have a Bible like that, why, then use those, because someone's already searched it out for you. And you say, oh, well, what's important about that? That's very important. It's some of the foundation stones of our Christian faith. The virgin birth, the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, what he suffered, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and even his ascension to the right hand of God, and even his coming again are all in the scriptures. They're all in there. All right, did somebody come up with another scripture in Genesis about that you think Jesus would have mentioned? What? All right, let's have that one. Well, that's about Abraham, wasn't it? In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see, Abraham said, God made the promise to him, that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And see, this has come down, the blessing of Abraham. Well, you have to go over there in Galatians, the 3rd and 4th chapter. The Apostle Paul brings that out so wonderfully about Abraham. Well, that's another study of itself. All right, how about another scripture in Genesis? 49 and 10? What does it say? The scepter? You ought to know that by heart. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Praise the Lord. That's the scriptures. That's prophecy. You go on down. You ought to hear Brother Fred Pruitt and his article about this, about his teeth shall be white with milk, and his eyes shall be red with wine, and binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments with wine, and his I tell you, he brings that out about Jesus. Eyes will be red with wine. Wine of the Holy Spirit. Be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. White with milk. Milk of the Word. Sincere milk of the Word. Praise the Lord. All right. Did you think of another scripture? Let's give you a little help here. Acts 3 and 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. If you find this in Deuteronomy 18:15. Rise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's pretty serious. Now, Peter is quoting from Deuteronomy here. And it's a prophecy of Jesus. Okay? Can we think of another one? Jesus is talking to these two men now. He's opening up to them the scriptures. Let's get a little bit ahead of Isaiah, okay? Can you hold that? Let's get into the Psalms. Got any scriptures about Jesus in the Psalms? One of Balaam's, if you have it there. The spirit of prophecy came on Balaam when Balak trying to get him to curse Israel. Numbers 24. Praise the Lord. Yes. A star shall rise out of Jacob. See? The spirit of prophecy came on him. He wasn't really right, but somehow the Lord just defeated the purpose of Balak and blessed Israel, and at the same time gave a prophecy of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord really overturns the devices of the devil, doesn't he? Thank the Lord. Okay, what about another one? Psalms 2. I want you to really get a hold of this. Some of you already know it, praise God, but I know it too, but I still like to get a hold of it. I still like to study about it. I still like to read it, meditate on it. Psalm 2. What's Psalm 2 about? Yes. Out of most parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them of the rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Praise the Lord. That was Jesus. Did you know those scriptures are quoted in the New Testament? The ones that he just read? Look over here in Acts 13. And the Apostle Paul said in verse 32, he said, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." He is applying that to the resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear ones, today, this is a wonderful thing. I remember when I was starting studying all these things, and I could just picture the Apostle Paul up there preaching Antioch and Pisidia, and he was saying that the promise which God gave to the fathers, he hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. Then I'd go back to that second Psalm and I'd look at that, and not only that scripture, but the whole Psalm. And I had a Bible, and I don't know if they still do those kind of Bibles that way, but I had a Bible, my first Bible after I was saved. Every prophecy of Jesus in the Old Testament had a star to it. That's good. You have a Bible like that, take notice of those stars, because they are prophecies of Jesus. And I noticed this second Psalm, every one of them had a star on it. You know that first part of that, why do the heathen rage and the kings of the earth imagine a vain thing? They set themselves to take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords." They quoted that when they prayed there in Jerusalem when they were being persecuted. They quoted that from that Psalm. So, and it goes on down and says, what's that last verse there? What? Last verse of the second Psalm. What does it say? Speak up. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Do a little research on that. What's he talking about? Lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. This is a serious thing. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Why would the Son be angry if you don't kiss him? Why would Jesus be angry if you don't embrace him? See, this word kiss. You study that word out. Embrace. Worship purely. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures, says, accept his discipline. Accept his discipline. Yield to him. Embrace him. Kiss him. Worship him purely. And I believe the Hebrew word here has an indication of like a dog couches before its master. In submission and worship and love. We used to have an old black dog cross the street from us. We lived here in Guthrie. Oh my, I used to look at that old black dog and I thought, I wouldn't want to meet that dog on a dark alley. He was big and mean looking until his master come around. And when his master come around, you ought to have seen that dog. He got down on his haunches. Oh, he loved his master. That's the way we love Christ. Worship, bow down before him. Worship him purely. Why? lest he be angry with you. Why would the Lord be angry with us if we refuse to worship him? Does he have a right to be angry? Why? He's worthy of it. He died on the cross. He suffered for you. He came down from heaven to earth to suffer for you. And now the gospel is preached and the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with our souls, and we just ignore it and go our way. Lest he be angry with you and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Just a little may his anger and wrath blaze. Then what does it say? Blessed. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Isn't that wonderful, the scriptures? Oh, I just see a wonderful blessing. What's another scripture now? You got one in Job? Job 19? All right, what does this say? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Praise the Lord. That was Job. He had this spirit of prophecy. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I got such a blessing out of that one day. I was searching out that word Redeemer, studying that out. And I found in the Hebrew it means my kinsman. My kinsman liveth. And I thought about Naomi and Ruth. They came back and both their husbands had died, and Naomi went out in the fields to glean and gather wheat, you know, or barley. And so Naomi says, you know, Boaz is a near kinsman of ours. What did that mean? That means he might buy our property and he might be in line to marry you. See, their husbands were dead. Anyway, you know how the love story, wonderful romance. You want a romance, go to the scriptures. Here was one that, it was wonderful how the Lord blessed. And this one, but whenever Ruth talked to Boaz about it, that wasn't too good ethics, was it? But the way she did that. But anyway, the Lord knew they were in need. And she said, you're a near kinsman. Oh, he says, blessed art thou of the Lord. But he says, there's a nearer kinsman than me. But he says, I'll take care of that. So the next day, he got them all together there in the gate. He got this kinsman up. And he says, now you know how this property and everything, Naomi and Ruth, and said, you're the next in kin. Will you redeem the property? He says, yes, I'll redeem it. I'll take it. I'll take it over. He said, well, he said, there's something else. If you do that, you got to marry Ruth. No, he says, I can't do that. Well, he says, will you let me do it? Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, dear ones, I thank the Lord for those scriptures. Because when I thought about that, kinsman, I know that my kinsman liveth. Oh, that just thrilled me all through. My husband's dead. The old life of sin I lived and was attached to one time, it died, and I'm a widow. But praise the Lord! Well, I thought about Adam the first. He brought us into sin. Well, he's dead. Here we have a new Adam. He's our near kinsman. He'll take us over. Isn't that wonderful, dear one? Don't that thrill you? He's our kinsman. He married us. Are you married to Jesus? Oh, I just praise the Lord. Well, let's see. Where else shall we find a scripture about Jesus now? Psalm? Psalm 8? Right. Who said that? Oh, Brother Jim. Well, sure. Praise the Lord, brother. What is Psalm 8? What does that have to say about Jesus? What is man that thou art mindful from him? Or son of man that thou visitest him?
A little lower than the angels.
Yes. Put all things under his feet. Now, is that scripture quoted in the New Testament?
Hebrews 2.
And also, you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection and how Jesus is going to be given dominion, even death, going to be the last enemy destroyed. All things be put under his feet. See how the scriptures all link up? And you know, dear ones, I am thrilled. I am thrilled as I think about these very writings that we have been translated are the actual expressions of dearly beloved Peter and Paul and our blessed Lord and Savior himself. That's wonderful. I think we're an honored people. This richest treasure that we could have. Oh my. All things put under his feet. So look over there in Hebrews 2 and 1 Corinthians 15. Look those up and weigh them out and see how the apostle applied those scriptures. That's another thing that's fascinated me, is how that our Lord and how the apostles applied the scriptures. That just go overwhelmed me to see how they did that. And then when we see how that they applied those scriptures, the same Spirit of the Lord they had can take other scriptures that they never used and apply them to us. And oh my, that's happened lots of times. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for these things. All right, how about another one? Can you go a little farther in Psalms? What about that next? Psalm 16. That's a real good one. I have set the Lord always before me. Who was it in the New Testament that literally quoted that on the day of Pentecost? Peter. He quoted that in part of his message. For David foresaw him and spoke of him. And then he quoted this. I set the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not deliver, or thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Thy presence is fullness of joy. Those are scriptures of Jesus. Peter quoted them. I'm so glad our blessed Lord didn't rot in the grave. His body didn't deteriorate. Praise God. Jesus never got old. Jesus was crucified in the peak of manhood at 33 years old. And he was crucified and laid in the tomb, but his flesh never rotted. It never deteriorated. It never saw corruption. But it came out alive and young forever and forever. Oh, praise God. It's wonderful how these scriptures bring this out. All right, how about another one? Which way shall we go from here? We're still in Psalms. Did you know there are so many in Psalms? This shall be a sign unto you. This shall be a sign unto you. Oh, yes. That's in Isaiah. Can you hold that just a minute? I want to go through a little more Psalms. What's the next one in? What? No, let's back up. There's another one before that. Psalm 22. And you notice, I don't know if you have this kind of Bible, but I noticed my Bible is that every scripture in Psalm 22 had a star on it. Because it is a prophetic psalm of Jesus. What are some of the things in Psalms 22? What's that first verse? What does it say? Who said that? Who said that later? Jesus quoted that, didn't he? He said that on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then verse 7 said, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Those people right at the cross of Jesus quoted that almost verbatim. Almost the very same thing they quoted. That said, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he delighted in him. And here the prophecy, the scripture said they would say that. That's amazing, isn't it? Wonderful God. Then there's another verse 16, 17. For dogs have compassed me. Not literal dogs, but men dogs. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Those old wicked soldiers didn't know what they were doing. They were fulfilling Scripture. Actually did exactly what this said. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, I love the latter part of this psalm, which is not quoted in the New Testament that I know of. I think there is one place, though. I will declare... Verse 22 is quoted in Hebrews 2. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. That's quoted. But then we go on, and you see this psalm turn into victory. See, this is a start. Verse 21 said, save me from the lion's mouth. 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, my only one, from the power of the dog. And then it turns into victory. Ye that fear the Lord, verse 23, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. When he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. That's all prophecy of Jesus. Okay, did we have 34, you say? 34 and what? Which one? Verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Praise God. The Lord took care of our blessed Savior, did he not? All right. Is there another, any more you want to mention this about Jesus, prophecy of Jesus? I have in my Bible here a whole list of them. Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's the way they did Jesus. See, it's a prophecy of Jesus. Okay, now let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14. Now, there's many more scripture, New Testament prophecies than what we will probably mention here, but I just want to mention a few. And then I want to hurriedly try to close out here and bring out a few more thoughts. Okay, Isaiah 7:14. Somebody read that. The Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Thank the Lord. And you find that quoted in Matthew 1 where it says, and this is all done that the prophecy might be fulfilled. And it says, which being interpreted means God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Praise the Lord. All right, Isaiah 9 and 6. That's prophecy of Jesus, isn't it? We ought to all know that by heart. Do you know it by heart? Let's see if we can say it. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The next one's good too. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. All right, Isaiah 40 and 10. Didn't you think Jesus had quite a little discourse that afternoon, didn't he? Opening up their scriptures to these dear beloved brethren. And later they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us while away and while he opened up the scriptures to us? Oh, I tell you, our hearts burn within us sometimes when the Lord began to open up these scriptures. What?
Micah
5 and 2. Yes, that's another one. Micah. All right. 40 and 10. Did somebody see that?
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arms
yes.
Before him.
Praise the Lord.
Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Yeah, read the next one. Praise God.
He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are...
Oh, isn't that beautiful? That's wonderful. We have John the Baptist prophesied in the early part of that 40th chapter. All right, now let's go to Isaiah 53 and read a few scriptures. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. I remember my mother quoted that to me years ago when I was a little boy, talking about Jesus. And she says, the scripture says, when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. That stuck in my mind. It helped me to see that it wasn't outward beauty that the Lord was portraying. It's that inward beauty. There's no beauty that we should desire him. All right, let's read that where it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Start there and read a few verses, someone. Let's see, it's 5, yes. Yes. Read on the next one.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, so he opened not his mouth.
Yes.
He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation?
He was cut off.
And with it, for the transgression of my people was
afflicted. Praise God. Who was it in the Bible? Who was it in the New Testament that was reading that scripture going down the road in the chariot? Lord said to Philip, says, go down into the gaze of the desert. So he obeyed the Lord. He went down there, and here come with his man in a chariot. Who was he? We don't have his name, do we? An Ethiopian eunuch from Ethiopia, had charge of the queen's treasury. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and he hadn't given up. He was still searching. And he had the Bible, he had the scriptures there, the book of prophet Isaiah, and he was reading. And the Spirit of the Lord said, go join yourself to that chariot. And so I tried to imagine how that was, but it just seemed like the chariot was rolling along and Philip come running up there, and he's running along beside the chariot, and he heard that man up there reading Isaiah. He is as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And Philip says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? Well, he says, how can I except some man teach me? You come up here in a chariot with me. And what did Philip do with those scriptures? Remember what it said he did? This is Acts 8 chapter. And Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Praise God. That just thrills me. Oh, and you read there in Acts, it brings it out a little bit different from this, because he's reading from the Septuagint translation, Greek translation. Maybe you might not know too much about that. The Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures. It was translated into the Greek about 350 years before Christ. The Greek language was paramount in the world at that time. The king of Egypt had 70 scholars, 70 men, work on translating the Old Testament scriptures into Greek. 350 years before Christ, and he had 70 scriptures. We're all human, aren't we? You know, I've thought a lot about that. That they translated the Hebrew scriptures into the Greek. And that's what we have as a Septuagint. We have a very good translation that I have, two or three of them. And I love to compare. When I read in the Old Testament, I like to compare and see what the Septuagint says. It does sometimes bring it out a little clearer. That was what he was reading when it says, he is taken from prison and from judgment. And in the Septuagint, it says it a little bit different. Let's see. Well, I have that. It says just a little bit different. Let me get that right quick. That shows you that it's good to have the Septuagint if you get a hold of one. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Now, that's the way it says. This here says he was taken from prison and from judgment. In his humiliation, how was Christ humiliated? He was denied the right to a fair trial. That's right. They arrested him that night, tried him during the night, passed sentence upon him and executed him the next morning. They did not allow him to go to prison and let everybody's anger cool down, and like they do now, to give a person a fair trial. He was not given a fair trial. They were thirsting for his blood. He was taken from prison and from judgment. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. It was a mock trial. It was a farce. It was wrong the way they did him. And he let them do it. That's our Savior. He is as a lamb to the slaughter. Sheep before her shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He didn't try to resist them. He just let them do it. Why? Because the Father wanted him to. He was obedient to the Father. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to try to just a few more. I want to thank the Lord for what the Scriptures mean to me. And I thank the Lord for Sister Fern Stubblefield. That woman lived in the Scriptures. She knew the Scriptures. She feasted on the Scriptures. She was a spiritual woman. Her faith and her life was constructed by the Scriptures. But all of these prophecies and all of these Scriptures, it's not only about Jesus, dear ones, but it's about us. It's for us. Psalm 90. Psalm 91. Psalm 92. Psalm 95. Psalm 102. You know what that was about? Psalm 103. Oh, how these Scriptures have comforted us through the years. In 1957, when I was just a young Christian, struggling to get established, and the devil was fighting me and accusing me and giving me all kinds of trouble, and I was just fighting the devil, and I was trying to live for God, and the Lord knew I loved him and I wanted to serve him, but oh, how the devil accused me and tried to get me under strain. Brother Isaac Chandler preached a message in Oklahoma City from the 103rd Psalm. It revolutionized my life. It settled me down. It balanced me. 103rd Psalm. That was his text. The mercy of the Lord. Oh, I just had different psalms. I love the psalms. I just enjoy them. I never get tired of them. They're just Psalm, that 72nd Psalm about the Lord Jesus and his reign, the reign of the Lord's anointed. Oh, that's wonderful. How about what? 23rd Psalm. That's comforted me many times. How about the 21st Psalm? You know what that's about? The king shall have joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. For thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Thou hast placed the crown of pure gold upon his head. That's Jesus. Praise the Lord. 24th Psalm. What's it saying? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be up and lift up, ye everlasting doors. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Oh, it's wonderful. I thank the Lord for what the Scriptures mean to me. How about Psalms 119? Did you ever read that? How many verses in Psalms 119? One time we was in a Bible Sunday school, and one sister, she something about said about Psalm 119, worked up a verse. And she said, Brother Leslie, look here. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. She was amazed that it was so long. She didn't know it was so long. 176 verses in Psalms 119. And Psalms 19 is a good one too. I love that one. Psalms 18. What's Psalms 18? That's David's psalm of victory after being delivered from his enemies. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, praise the Lord. May the Lord help you to don't neglect this gold mine we have. Don't neglect it. It's a gold mine. If you had a gold mine in California or Oregon or somewhere like that, it's nothing compared to this. Praise the Lord. Mine of wealth. Amen. Pray for me.